This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 17, text number 15, the divisions of faith. Anudvega karambakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya vyasanam chayva vanmayam tapa uchite. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students. But such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. Besides that, one should not talk nonsense. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what he is saying. At the same time, such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. By such discussions, one may derive the highest benefit and elevate human society. There is a limitless stock of Vedic literature, and one should study this. This is called penance of speech. Satyam priyam hitam chayat. The Vedanta Sutra says that the human form of life is meant for discussing the absolute truth. So gravity means to only speak about subjects which are in pursuance of the absolute truth, which are in relation to the absolute truth, which will enlighten us. Anything else is simply a waste of our time. Sometimes it's called gramya katha, or village talk. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, gramya katha na shunive. One should not hear or speak about subject matters which are simply in relationship to the body. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains in the first canto that human society is, or there are, so many subject matters for hearing, so many sounds. The Bible describes the material world as a tower of Babel. Babel means talk or sounds, basically sounds, where there is no truth. It is just, the world is a world of forms and names and sounds. If we allow ourselves to be caught in this whirlpool, to get caught up in such discussions, then our mind, our consciousness, will be anchored here. If the way, anavriti shabdat, by sound, we will be liberated, anavriti, and God is present in the world by transcendental sound. And this sound is emanating from the spiritual world, and it descends. The Sankirtan movement descends into the material world, and we have to catch hold of the sound. just like someone is drowning in a river and someone is up on a tree and throws a rope swinging down, and you catch onto it and then you're pulled away, pulled out of the river or pulled out of the drowning condition. So the sound, we have to catch hold of the sound. We chant, and we're not advised to artificially try to think of gopis or Ras Lila, or, you know, like counting sheep or something when you're going to sleep, you know, chanting rounds and seeing gopis dance in front of you. You just try to capture the sound of the holy name. Everything else will be done for you. Your heart will be purified. And when it is time for Krishna to show his transcendental lila, that will be manifest in your heart. And you won't need to ask any questions. It will all be revealed to you. But until that time, we have to not only hear transcendental sound, fix our mind on transcendental sound, but we have to make sure the sounds that we hear are transcendental. Mayavadi bhasya shunile hoy sarva nasha. If you allow yourself to hear mundane sounds or impersonal sounds or sensuous sounds, then your heart will become contaminated and everything is lost. You will surely drown. Therefore, avaishnava mukodgirnam putam harikatha. One should sravanam naiva. One should not hear harikatha. Oh, harikatha is being spoken. But one should not hear harikatha. One should not hear talks about Krishna. If it is spoken by a non-Vaishnava or a Prakrita Vaishnava or a Prakrita Sahajya, Sarpochista Yathapaya, because that will have poisonous effect. It'll be like drinking milk, which is poisoned by a snake. And this does happen in rural communities, on farms, in the villages. Milking of cows is often done by hand. And the milk bucket may be left aside. Some other work is being done. And a snake, which happens to be residing in the barn, will come and, you know, have a little drink of milk. They like milk too. But, of course, his mouth is full of venom. And then if you go ahead and drink that milk, it could give you some disease or make you sick or, even if it's potent enough, kill you. So this is a real example. And it's real practically, and it's also real spiritually, aesthetically, that you should not hear. You should be very careful who you hear from. We are not trying to be antisocial, or we are not trying to be exclusivists, or we don't want to look down our noses at anyone. We love everyone, but we hate the disease. Not the diseased person, but we hate the disease. And when you're walking in an area, and this, of course, is quite common these days, we thank you to CNN. We're given a lot more opportunity to see the wars that are going on. Formerly, there'd be wars going on all over the world, and you wouldn't really know about it unless it was in your part of the world. But now we see it all the time, and they're pretty devastating wars, and people are uprooted from their place, and they lose their houses, they lose their family, and they're forced to live in camps. And the camps are capable of accommodating 5,000 people, and there's 75,000 people living there, and the conditions are unhygienic. There's often a lot of disease floating around in the air and the water. People defecate or pass and everywhere, and it's so if you go in that area, you have to be very careful that you have proper protection, inoculation from certain diseases, perhaps a gas mask or something, a mouth mask at least, to avoid inhaling germs that may be floating around in the air. The people in New York at the World Trade Center after that disaster, the whole area of lower Manhattan was so polluted. Even to this day, there's pollution there. People get headaches, tremendous headaches. They're living in apartment buildings maybe 6 blocks or a mile away from the ground zero. But because of the air carries disease, so they get contaminated. So we also have to be very careful. Keep all negative energy away. Guard your faith. Guard your consciousness, your purity. Prabhupada has given us a nice standard, a nice process. There need not be any problems or any extreme difficulties. There's enough instruction in Prabhupada's books and letters and tapes that we can deal with all different kinds of problems that normally arise. But if we complicate things and start hearing from and associating with people who are worse than karmis, in other words, at least if someone is asleep or if someone is materialistic, you know how to deal with them. But if someone is pretending to be spiritual while at the same time has unlimited material desires and wants to, there's a saying, misery loves company. They want to, they've fallen and they want to see others fall. They can go to so many extremes to agitate your mind by twisting ideas and philosophy. Anybody who's astute, anybody who has a very sharp mind, can, of course, cut them to pieces, proverbially. Wouldn't want to cut them to pieces. Actually, that would be against the law, but probably deserve it. But anyone with a sharp mind can destroy their so-called philosophy, their Kaitava Dharma. But generally, most of us, we have things to do, and we may not be so on guard. We may not be so expert. So the best thing is to keep ourselves to a degree insulated. And the best insulation is Brahma Muhurta Sadhana and regular association. So to the degree that we take advantage of that, we can be insulated. And even though we may mix with regular non-devotees, we won't be disturbed. And we have a choice to... We have such short time in this world. We have a short time to purify our lives. We have a short time to go through the scriptures thoroughly, study the Vedas. There's such a short time. We don't have time to waste. So, gramya katha na sunyabe, mayavadi vasya na sunyabe. We have to keep ourselves always hearing the truth and always speaking the truth. And of course, it's obvious, if we don't have any organized programs for Krishna Katha, then devotees will be inclined to go wherever they think they can get it. So the best defense is a strong offense. As you all know, it's nothing new. You're all regular devotees. But we have a little problem with one Gaudiya Mutt sannyasi, my cousin. His name is N.M. Maharaj, or N. Maharaj. And he goes around with a group of people and, you know, he'll come to Ljubljana to preach and he'll have a big festival and he'll hold it right next door, just coincidentally, you know, as if there was no plan there. And, you know, he'll send his stormtroopers over to, you know, catch anybody who's a little curious. And then they'll go over there and come back, and someone will send them a note, oh, by the way, you've just been initiated. And it actually happens. But we have found that the best way to counteract that is when, at all times, but especially when he comes, have a big festival ourselves. Have lots of chanting, have lots of reading, and lots of prasadam. And invariably they're relatively disorganized because they don't have any discipline. So if we can put together a solid program, you get the best prasadam here. You know, after the lecture, there's some cultural performance, there's some drama, there's all kinds of activities, and devotees are alive, and then there's nothing that they have to worry about. It's only when we don't do the positive things that we should be doing that we get distracted from the truth. Okay, the truth, we should keep ourselves speaking words that are truthful and words that are dear, priyam, or pleasing to hear. And, well, I'll read you what Prabhupada says about that. Well, there's a famous verse, Sanskrit verse. Satyam griyat priyam griyan ma priya satyam apriyam. Satyam meaning truth, priya meaning dear, apriyam meaning not dear, griyat. It is a social convention that if you want to speak the truth, you should speak it very palatably. But we are not men for social convention. We are preachers, servants of God, and we must speak the real truth, whether you like it or not. We have to preach, but if we say directly that you are all mudhas, maya, aparita, jnana, and duskritina, they will be angry. Because satyam bruyat na bruyat satyam apriyam. You have to speak the truth very cautiously. Upadesho hi murkanam prakopaya na shante. You give good instruction to a murk, to a fool, and he'll become very angry. He'll not, oh, thank you for giving me this good instruction. He's a fool. He will get angry. Upadesh. Good instruction, Krishna Upadesh. we're encouraged. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us how to preach, how to become guru. Jare dekho, whoever you see. Jare dekho, tare, tare kaho. Whoever you speak to, give them Krishna Upadesh. Krishna Upadesh. Krishna's instructions, Krishna's lila, whatever. But unfortunately, if you give, and that's one of the offenses, not to instruct the faithless persons about the intimate glories of the Holy Name. And you should add this word intimate when you recite this Nam Aparad in the morning. You can tell everybody indirectly, or some, even give them some Krishna conscious instruction, even if it's only to offer them a little prasadam, or you can even get more simple than that. Just get them to smile. Prabhupada said if people just smile at devotees and appreciate their position, they make advancement. But you, if you give good instruction to a rascal, he'll be angry. Therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati is teaching us how we should present our case. Dante Nidhaya Trinakam. Sir, I have come to you taking this grass in my teeth. This is a symbolic representation of becoming very humble in India. They take a grass. Dante Nidhaya Padayor Nipatya. And I am falling down on your feet. Kakushatam Kritva. And I am flattering you. You are very grand. You are very nice. You are very learned. You are so on, so on. If you flatter, people become puffed up. So Dante Nidhaya Trinakam Padayor Nipatya Kakushatam Kritva Chaham. I have one submission. What is that? Hey, sadhava, you are a great learned sadhu. My one request is that whatever you have learned, please forget it. Whatever nonsense you have learned, please forget. This is my submission. I've learned so many things and I have to forget, then what I have to do. Hey, sadhava, sakalam eva vihaya durat chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragam. You just submit yourself to Chaitanya Chandra, then everything will be perfect. I've heard Prabhupada also say, sir, you are very great, but just give up all your nonsense and surrender to Krishna. So, of course, Prabhupada can do that because he's elderly and respectable. But sometimes people would get angry. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, na buddhi bedam janayad agyanam karma sanginam joshayad sarva karmani vidvanyukta samacharam. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work, but should rather engage them in positive works of devotion. So, on the one hand, we have to speak the truth. And theoretically, it should be pleasing, but we cannot compromise. And this is, it's an austerity of the speech. It should be truthful, and it should be beneficial, and yet at the same time, not agitating to others. Well, what gives us a hint how to speak? Besides that, one should not talk nonsense. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what he is saying. So Prabhupada would often say something very strong, and then he would sort of pull back and say, actually, I am not saying. Don't get angry with me. Krishna is saying, the Supreme Lord is saying, and he would quote from scripture. So, we can't, first of all, sociologically, no one can compete with scripture which has been extant for 5,000 years and has been read, studied, glorified by the most prominent scholars in both hemispheres and both sides of the world, by Western philosophers and scholars and by Eastern philosophers and scholars. The Bhagavad Gita is famous. And, of course, even other Vedic literatures are becoming more and more well-known. They were even known by the early Americans. The first president of the United States, John Adams, the very first president of the good old USA, he studied the Upanishads. And Benjamin Franklin, and Walt Whitman, and who was that, Walden's Pond, famous American transcendentalist. Where are they? I think they mentioned Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson. Both of these men are very famous. And they all considered the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita greater than any, the greatest cosmological wisdom available. So if we quote from scripture, then people have to give it some credence. If we just speak my opinion, then people will naturally become defensive. Well, my opinion is better than your opinion. Not my opinion, I'm just speaking from scripture. At the same time, such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. So that's your Prabhupada said about selling books. On the one hand, he said, by hook or by crook, sell the book. In other words, by some means you sell a book. But then he said, if someone gets a book and goes away angry, he said, then you're a rascal. That is your nonsense. You should learn how to sell the book so that people are pleased to have it. There should be a nice presentation of the book, and you should be detached in the sense that if they don't buy it, you're not angry with them, and they should go away feeling happy that I talked to a nice person. Generally, people do not buy the book. They do not appreciate the lecture so much. They do not like your preaching, but they buy the preacher. They like the person. They don't have the brains to understand the philosophy. They're too much engrossed in the modes of nature. They don't, you know, it'll take them years to, even if they take to devotional service, so many devotees, after years, 1, 2, even 3 years, they're still a little bewildered about what the philosophy is. So if they don't get nice association in the ashram, and if they don't get nice prasadam, and somebody's concerned about their well-being, they'll go away and think, wow, come on, he heard all those lectures, he should. It takes time for this message to sink in, because it's very powerful. And once you even begin to appreciate what it's all about, it's a little shocking. I may have to change my life, or I'm just a pure hypocrite. It becomes frightening. So it should be pleasing, but at the same time it should be truthful. By such discussions one may derive the highest benefit and elevate human society. Well, Krishna says, nachatasman manusyeshu kaschin me priyakritama. Those who do try to present the philosophy, in other words, we're saying how tricky it is, how preaching is an art and a science, and you have to work at it. Nah, it's too difficult. Why should I preach? I'll just sit back and chant a little bit. Okay, fine. But you're not going to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, really. And you may find yourself, if you just sit in the temple and don't go out preaching, that your mind will go outside. Your body may not, but your mind will go outside, and then your mind will pull you out, but in the wrong direction. So it's better you go out on your own with a mission to tell people about Krishna. And when you're fixed in that business, when you're outside and you're fixing your mind on Krishna by discussing the truth with people, you can't be changed. Jare dako tare kaho Krishna upadesh. When you learn how, in some little way, everybody that you can come in contact with, you give them a little bit of mercy, Krishna katha, Krishna prasad, Krishna culture. In other words, even if you're just following Vaishnava culture, not oppressing people with your philosophy, which they don't want to hear, they're not ready to hear yet, but just being kind, being gentle, being non-envious. If you're doing these things willfully, intelligently, with a plan, you're fixed, and you're very dear to Krishna. Priya Kritamaha. Those who take this trouble are very dear to me. You get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And of course, reciting Vedic literature, it is most essential that we come together in the morning and or in the evening and hear the philosophy. Now, whether you're speaking or hearing it doesn't matter. It's a process. If you're increasing your knowledge, it will give you satisfaction. But even if you're stuck on a level, or even if you've reached your peak, in other words, there are brilliant devotees with fabulous memories, and they're very simple devotees who pick up the Bhagavad Gita and they're reading it upside down. And they start to cry because they think of how Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. And how wonderful he is, like that Brahmin in South India. He couldn't read, but his guru told him, read Bhagavad Gita every day. So he didn't know what to do, so he tried, and everybody was laughing at him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what's going on here? Well, I'm trying to read Bhagavad Gita, but I see that you're crying. Yes, because I see a vision of Krishna. Chaitanya said, these people, although erudite, can't read, but you are the real reader of Bhagavad Gita because it affects your heart. It molds you. And I know. I write letters, and I've been trained how to put words in such a way that people will be inspired and enlivened to give a donation to the Mayapur Fund or whatever it is. But it's a real art and a science. Because generally people read and they may enjoy it or they may not enjoy it, but it doesn't change their life. But the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahabharat, and the Ramayana, the Puranas, the Upanishads, to a lesser degree, Vedanta Sutra, whatever. These literatures are written so, they're written in such a way as part of a whole scheme, a plan to bring you back to Godhead. So you keep yourself in the fire. Krishna's here on the pages of these books. He's hiding here in the pages. You look, you find him. You see him. He's there. Krishna, Vedaishtra Sarvar. Aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vidyeva chaham. He compiled the Vedas. The Vedas are about him. He's the knower of the Vedas. And you can enter into the mystery of his understanding by reading. One who reads the Bhagavad Gita worships me by his intelligence. There's a fire, a purifying fire of Sankirtan, Satatam Kirtayantamam. Itantascha Jadavataha Namasyantascha Mam Bhaktya Niti Yuktu Pasate. That's the devotees. Katyantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. So, somehow or other, all we have to do is participate in this process. Call it a ritual, call it whatever you like. It is transcendental. And it cleanses the heart. So you need that purification. Everything we do is for our purification. Krishna is already there. We don't need to Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Sravanadi Shuddha Chite Kore Udai. We just need to water the creeper of devotional service by hearing and chanting. It's not foreign, it's sadhya, it's natural. Love is natural, but we're loving the wrong things, we're focusing in the wrong place. We just have to do this. Now, I know from my side, at least for the last 25 years, 27 years, since I took sannyas, that I've been on this end of it for the most part. Reading these verses, it's the same verse I read last month. Oh, no. I'm reading it again and again. I'm learning every day a little different angle. There's some enjoyment there, and I feel like I'm purifying myself by doing this. And you also, whether you're speaking to a group of devotees, or you're sitting in a group of devotees hearing, whether you're at a, what you call, a Namahata program, where you sit and everybody speaks something in the room, which is a really nice experience. Everybody gives their realizations on a verse. Whatever format, if you just keep yourself in the fire, be patient. 1 year, 2 years. Take prasadam, do your work, raise your family, be patient, go on, go to a festival, whatever it is, but keep yourself in the fire and be patient, and gradually the process will work on you. It's like Ayurvedic medicine. It takes time, but it's holistic. When you have a serious disease, it takes time to get completely free. People who have cancer, it doesn't go away so quickly. And they have to constantly be on guard that it doesn't come back. We have a cancer, skin disease, been there for a long time. And unless we get free, anavriti, unless we get liberated, unless we get out of jail, unless we give up our attachment to the material. You can't live happily in the material world until you give up attachment to the material world. You can live happily in the material world if you know how. You don't have to wait for the kingdom of God. You don't have to wait till death. You can be happy now, joyful, happy, peaceful, satisfied, fulfilled, even opulent. Just have to follow Krishna's plan. We all know that even if you do everything you have to do in the material world and gain all material success, there's absolutely no guarantee that you're going to be happy. And we just talked, Michael Jordan. I was in this boy's house in London, and he's got this huge poster in his bedroom where they put me, of Michael Jordan. You know, was he number 39 or something. What's his number, Michael? Anyway, big t-shirt there. Air Jordan. You know, he's going to be a bird in his next life for sure. You know? Probably a sparrow. Sparrow Jordan. You know, see now. Money coming out of his ears. He can light his cigarettes with air, with $100 bills, you know. Used to be the old image of the Texan oil merchants, you know, that we light our cigars with $100 bills because we're from Texas, where everything's big, you know. Big, huge hat, cowboy hat. And now the oil industry's gone down in Texas and there's no oil merchants or anything. Texas is in a recession, up and down. But even Michael Jordan, he's having a lot of problems. He's got kids, got real, sensitive, feeling, human being children. And his marriage is in a shambles. He's going the way of the 60-70% average. You know, he was supposed to be the happy story. Go around to school. He was Mr. Do Good. Everybody loved him. All the way to the bank, you know. He loved everybody and made a lot of money while he was at it. But, so even if you do everything right in the material world, there's no guarantee that you're going to be satisfied or happy. But if you give up your attachment to the material world, if you let go and just live life spontaneously in Krishna consciousness, free from fear and anxiety, biggest fear is fear of death. If you lose that, you know, 80%, 90% of your problems are over, fear of death. And if you stop seeing people as competitors trying to get more and more and more, because real happiness doesn't come from having more and more and more. If you stop exploiting people, exploiting animals, if you get a little knowledge, without knowledge, you're in darkness. And darkness means you're in fearful condition. If you get a little knowledge, and knowledge has to be used, it has to be activated before there's any benefit. You get a nice, fabulous, the best software program, but you don't have the key, you know, you lost the serial number and you can't make it work. What's the use? You have a great software, you have a great program, but it's not working for you because you don't have the key. And here's the key, Krishna consciousness. Then everything will work nicely. It has done in the past. People have told us this. We're in a rough situation because we've been brought up in an environment where we don't have much faith. Asravadhanasya purusya dharmasya siparantapa aprapyamam. Unless we get a little faith. Faith in Krishna. Faith in the spiritual master, faith in the scripture, yasya deve para bhaktir, ta deve, tata gurau, tashaite, katita, hyarta, prakashante, mahatmana, a little faith in ourselves. You can't have faith in yourself until you know who yourself is. Faith in the body, your body's going to break down. You're just another body. You'll compare yourself with other bodies, and it's not a way to build up self-esteem, self-confidence. You'll always feel inferior to someone, but when you understand that you're part and parcel of the Supreme, you're para prakriti, you're superior energy, and you can easily resituate yourself in the transcendental world by your own volition. You don't need anyone to lean on of your own choice. Can get free. Then you can live happily in the material world. You'll be supplied. No worry. You'll get enough to eat. You get a place to sleep. You'll be able to satisfy akama, sarva kama va. You'll be able to satisfy your desires. And then at the time of death, your future is very bright. So recite the Vedic scriptures. Keep yourself in the association of devotees, whatever it takes. If you can chant the holy names. You can follow principles. The more you can add to your repertoire of opulences, spiritual opulences, the better off you'll be, the more you can do. But if you can only do a little, you'll still get tremendous benefit. So, are there any further points that people would like to discuss? Yes, Gary.
Why is it for people in the real world easier to do austerities that are not prescribed by scripture, even though they sometimes look much harder? For example, if one concocts some philosophy, writes books on it, it's much harder than just repeat what Krishna said. Or, you know, climbing up Mount Everest and ski down, it's much harder than just go and offer obeisances to superior people or something like that. Why?
Well, where does the difficulty come from? What is the underlying paradigm? On the one side, I'm God. I'm free. I can be whatever I can dream. Everything depends on me, and I can get ahead in the world and be worshipped by people, and it's based on ignorance. But for a devotee, before he can do even a little thing for Krishna, he's got to understand that he is not God. He's a servant. Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arsabhritya. Everyone is a servant. Well, for how long? You know, like one bogus philosopher, so-called yogi, said, he gave a definition of bhakti, that you love the loved until you become the love. And Mayavadis also do that too. They teach you to do kirtan, because philosophical speculation is dry. So they, in order to get some followers, they have kirtan, and they keep deities, and they do some worship. But the whole time they're thinking, the goal is to merge with the deity, to become one. So to give up your independence, and I know, in just speaking with people all over the world, the hardest thing that people have to face is giving up their false sense of independence. It's the last thing they'll give up. They'll come to the temple, they'll take prasadam, they'll listen to the lectures, but if you ask them to commit, chant 16 rounds, okay, they'll try that. It takes more time. You ask them to submit to a bona fide spiritual master, that's a tough one. Now, there are cheaters who will make a show, but a real person will understand, well, I have to surrender to this person. And 20 years ago, he was doing so many material things, and now I've got to surrender to him and accept him as God's representative. I can't do that. People aren't prepared. They aren't prepared to give up their mental control, because they can't control, really, nothing they can control. They can't control their health. They can't control their wealth. They can't control their minds. They can't control their friends. They can't control their country. They can't control the world. But still, they've got a sense that I'm the controller, Ishwaro Hum. And they're not prepared to give up that false sense. And therefore, they remain independent. And it gives them, for a while, a sense of exhilaration. I have to depend on myself. And I want to get ahead. So, there's a threshold point. Devotees, when they finally come to terms with themselves and their demon inside them, and they come to terms with that demon, and they somehow agree, all right, I'm going to give myself to Krishna. From that point on, they develop tremendous power to do all kinds of fantastic things. Prabhupada, what did he do? I don't know of anybody who took $5, $8 to America and within a short period of time was worth millions of dollars and had thousands and thousands of servants all over the world working for no salary with factories, farms and schools and temples all dedicated to him, as well as publishing so many books. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for having published more books in a short period of time than anyone in history, more nonfiction books. So devotees can do very wonderful things, but they first have to come to grips with this, are you going to surrender or not? Because what happens is devotees get empowered by Krishna. Everybody is empowered by Krishna, but the non-devotees get empowered to go to hell. But Krishna doesn't offer pure devotional service very easily. He'll empower you to achieve pure devotional service, but you have to commit. Any other questions? Grant?
How do we, you mentioned the demon inside, how do we find it?
It's right there, I'm seeing pretty clearly. false ego, false pride, lust, anger, greed. These are the footprints of this demon. He walks inside there. Chant Hare Krishna. He can't stand the holy name. He'll go away. Yeah. You have to do a exorcism, deghosting. So you chant loudly and you surround him with holy names. The holy name of sound, the holy name of food, the holy name of sight. He goes crazy everywhere, the holy name. And every day the same, getting up in the morning and I don't want this, I want enjoyment, I'm getting out of here, you know. He leaves you. You just pummel him. You know, pummel. There's a fight going on inside between the demon and the devotee. So, you have to become Rocky. 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know. You have to become very strong, stand your ground, maintain thy post in spirit world. Take a stance, face off, call him out, challenge him. It's, you know, what do they call it in Brazil? What do they call that? That martial art form? Huh? No. It's, huh? Now, this is, you can use any type of form you like. And in Brazil, it can be to the death. In other parts of the world, they have some rules and regulations. In Brazil, no rules. Vale tudo. Huh?
Vale tudo.
Vale tudo, yes. It's vale tudo inside here. So, some of the best guys, at least in the last 20 years, have been these the Marx Brothers. No, what do they call themselves? The something or other brothers. This one guy, grandfather, he brought it to Brazil. He was a brahmachari, vegetarian, and he had children, but only, he said, sex only for children, otherwise he never lost semen. That's his claim. I mean, why did he have to make a claim? Nobody honors or recognizes that, so probably some truth to it. In Brazil especially. Hridayananda Maharaj said, if anybody can remain a brahmachari in Rio for 5 years, I'll give him sannyas. So if you think you want to take sannyas, go to Rio and see if you can stay there for 5 years. But they introduced especially jiu-jitsu. That was their form. And they took on all comers all over the world. And they weren't so good at boxing or anything, but they would just try to bring people down to the floor. And once you were on the floor with them, you're finished. They were so good at jiu-jitsu. So jiu-jitsu, and of course it's some relation to judo, it's a question of using the energy of the other person. So we'll use Maya's energy to throw him on the floor. We'll turn everything to Krishna. We've got lusty desires. We'll worship the deities. We'll take prasadam. We've got a lot of passion, energy. We'll go out on Harinam. We'll go out on book distribution. We'll clean the temple. And when it's completely clean, then we'll start all over again and clean it again. Stand and fight. Now, are we supposed to put on armor and fight? Is that what Bhagavad Gita is, a treatise on war? No. Krishna's telling Arjuna, fight the battle of life. Fight the battle of life. Keep fighting. This is a battle to the finish, and it's, as Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over. So keep going. You won't ever lose, actually. I can guarantee you 100%. You'll never lose if you keep trying. You may have some bad moments and some doubtful moments. Get some friends. Talk it over. But keep going. And there's so much pleasure waiting just around the corner. Even if you get a little bit of it, you'll be so satisfied. Nothing can compare. Everything else pales. Sex is nothing in comparison to prema. A horse burger is nothing in comparison to Mutter Paneer Pakora, or, you know, samosa. Peas and cheese samosa. You know, it's stupid. No comparison. A good feast of Krishna prasadam cooked with love and devotion by expert cooks. Oh, I mean, how many people could live and perform austerities just so they could have a horse burger? But devotees live and perform austerities just so they can have, you know, some nice Krishna prasadam on Sunday or whatever, at least we did, Sunday to Sunday. And then in India, I really someday bless all of you. Someday you can go to India and visit the house of a really expert Vaishnava, and he's cooked a wonderful feast, and you'll forget that you're in the material world. So much just standard pleasure, what to speak of aesthetic